God's people is the church. And I'm using the singular there because God's people is the church. This is what His body looks like. This new creation that He has made, that we live out the righteousness of Christ in harmony. What He's using here, and some translations actually translate this verse that way at the beginning, where it says, be of the same mind towards one another. They say, live in harmony. Now, that's not a strict translation of the words that are there in the original, but it really is the nuance of what He says, the meaning of what is being said here, to be of the same mind towards one another. We could take a music note. There's how many music notes on this? Christine, I'm going to ask you to do something for me. She's looking at me like, Rich, I can't believe you're asking me to do this. Just play one note. Give me a C. No, Nathan, you may not. Just give me a C. All right, now give me, that's one note. That's all it is. But that's not harmony, is it? To have harmony, what do you have to have? At least one other note. Can you give me a C chord? Could you play them, you know? All right, that's way up there. You guys are having a hard time relating to that, aren't you? She's being very bashful. Can you believe that? Thank you. Now that's harmony, okay? You put those three together and you have a chord, all right? Now, you have to have different notes to have harmony. Now, sometimes I have two daughters and a wife that play the piano, and sometimes they will be playing something and they will come across, you know, as they're practicing and they're playing something and something doesn't go right, and just out of frustration, they do what? Plunk. And there's no harmony there. Right? Can you do that for us? Nathan, you can do that one. But you know what I'm talking about, don't you? And what is that? Out of frustration, just, okay, whatever, just plunk. But that's not harmony. It's not harmony at all. So what we have here, when you just go plunk, it's like whatever, and there's no real intent of creating harmony, then you have what's called discord. You don't have a chord, you have discord. And this verse is written to do away with discord, because discord is not a portrait of the newness that is ours in Christ. So a few points down here under what harmony is talking about. He calls us to live in harmony when he says, be of the same mind towards one another. Living in harmony is the ambition to be in cooperation. The ambition to be in cooperation. Those notes in harmony, they are different, but they have to complement each other. And there is the ambition to be in cooperation. The notes have to be in cooperation with each other. If you're going to play a harmonious chord, you have to play the notes that are a part of that harmonious chord. You can't just do, say, whatever and go plunk. That's not a chord. That's discord. So there has to be the ambition to be in cooperation with each other. Now, when it says in verse 16, be of the same mind towards one another, the actual translation of that means to have equal regard for each other. To have equal regard for each other. What does the scriptures mean by saying that? Because we are community and we are created in God's image for community, if there is going to be harmony, it means that we have to abandon individualism. I did not say individuality. I said individualism. Individualism is the religion of the self, that it's all about me and that I will do whatever I think pleases me. If there is going to be harmony, that has to be abandoned because it's not about me. It's about us. It's about Christ and His church. And that attitude has to be present, that every one of us looks at each other with equal regard, that I'm considering your interests just as much as I'm considering my interests. And there has to be that attitude if harmony is going to exist. Very important to understand that when he says, be of the same mind towards one another, or have equal regard for each other, he does not mean uniformity. Unity does not mean uniformity. What is uniformity? Well, everybody dresses the same, looks the same, smells the same, thinks the same, acts the same, has the same opinion, and all have the same perspectives. First of all, it's not even possible, right? So that's not what the Scriptures are calling for. And we need to be very careful that that's not what we read into the Scriptures. This unity to which he calls us is not uniformity. You can't have harmony if every note is the same. What would it be if we sang on Sunday morning and every note was the same note? And when we have special music, if every note, everybody was always singing the same note all the time, no harmony, there'd be particularly nothing special about that, would there? I tend to favor groups singing harmony. But today in the music industry, everything seems to be about solo work. There has to be difference. There has to be diversity for there to be harmony. Right? Just like the notes that Christine played. A C chord. You can have four or five different notes there, and they all complement each other, and they cooperate with each other to create a harmonious chord. Not discord. But they have to be different notes. So the unity then, let me look through this diagram over here. All right? This is like the unity. He uses this in 1 Corinthians 12, the unity of the body. What do you have over here? Well, first of all, there are two things that have to be recognized. First of all, there is diversity. Okay? You have all the different parts of the body, and there is diversity. Do you think that they all have the same perspective? Is the perspective from here the same thing as the perspective from there? Obviously, it's not. Does this have the same function as that? No, it does not. There is a diversity there. But the truth of the matter is, they all work together in cooperation with the same purpose and direction. That's the unity, and that's the harmony that we're talking about. So all of that has to happen, but it cannot happen unless it is operating under the same authority. And so a part of harmony, an essential part of harmony, is mutual submission to authority. And that authority is the head. Now, some of you might say that head is disproportionately big. Yes, I really didn't mean it to be, but it's okay that it is, right? Because we need to be making much of the head and not of ourselves in the body of Christ. And that's what our diversity does. In our submission to the authority, we're making much of the head and we're making him look big and not us. And so if you're going to have this harmony and this unity in the church, you have to have, there has to be communication. Can't read that probably from the back, but there's plenty of open seats up front here if you would like to move up, okay? There has to be communication, all right? Because there's a submission to the authority, so there is that communication that brings that harmony and that unity. Not only is there communication, but there has to be understanding. And this is between each individual part. There's communication under the authority of the head. There's that mutual understanding, and that's having equal regard for each other. And then, of course, the word that I've already used is cooperation. My hands cooperate with each other. My hands cooperate with my feet. They're all moving in the same direction. Why? Because they're all submissive under one authority. And it is an authority that God has established. And so with that cooperation, there is interdependence. As Americans, we're all about independence, aren't we? But the Bible calls us to interdependence. And you know the difference there, don't you? Not dependency and not independence. We are called to interdependence. Because we are one body, and there has to be that harmony, that mutual cooperation. And as we mentioned before, there is the honor. the mutual honor that we give to each other, and as He's called us to in these portraits of newness here in Romans chapter 12, that we take the ambition, we take the lead to give honor one to another. Very important factor to compliment, not just say nice words about each other, but to compliment, to complete each other in the work that God has for us. And that's the harmony that He's speaking of. But there's also yielding. We have to yield to each other. What does Paul say to the Philippians? To consider others more important than yourself. There are some times when you, to maintain and have harmony in the church, that there needs to be a yielding to others. And the last thing I want to put up here is there also has to be a forbearance. Because none of us is perfect. Let me just put it out there very clearly. In a community of grace where no one is yet practically perfect, if there is not forbearance, there will not be harmony. The opposite of forbearance I would call rigidity. What do you get when you get something rigid? If you try to bend it, what? It splinters. Okay? There has to be forbearance. And forbearance is a key part of the unity and the harmony to which we are called. And I believe that this is nuanced in what the apostle is teaching us here in verse 16. Be of the same mind towards one another. Have equal regard for each other. In the rest of the verse, he gives us two negatives and one positive. And you think, okay, well, if he's instructing us, why is he being so negative in his instruction? Well, let me just put it this way. Because we are new in Christ, how does he begin this whole section in verse 2? Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. If we are not intentional about harmony, then the flesh will take over and we will behave as mere men, meaning unregenerate men. And we will have obstacles. And that unregenerate mind frame is me. It's about the self. It's all about me. It's individualism. It's the religion of the self. So unless we are intentional and ambitious about maintaining and keeping harmony within the body of Christ, then we will default to the flesh. And we will be conformed to the image of this world, not the image of Christ. This is the challenge before us. So we're going to consider a couple of these negatives, and I've called them obstacles to harmony. Obstacles to harmony. Just as a general preview to begin with, there are two obstacles to harmony, the unity to which we are called. The two obstacles to harmony are cliques and critics. Cliques and critics. I'm going to stop and unpack those here for a minute, okay? Because I believe this is what he's teaching us in verse 16. He says, do not set your mind on high things. Another translation will say, don't be haughty in your thinking. It's thinking of more highly of yourself than you ought to think. At the end of the verse, he says, do not be wise in your own opinion. The two greatest obstacles to harmony in any body are cliques and critics, particularly when you're talking about a body corporate of people. If you're like most people, you're way above average. It takes you a little while to get that, doesn't it? If you're like most people, you're way above average at almost everything. This is called the state of illusory superiority. It's rampant in the West. And I mean the Western Hemisphere, okay? Just because we're on the East Coast, don't think I'm talking about California. It's here too. It simply means that we tend to inflate our positive qualities and abilities, especially in comparison to other people. And there's the problem. We compare ourselves to other people. Okay? One researcher summarized the data this way. Quote, it's the great contradiction. The average person believes he is a better person than the average person. Christian researcher Mark McMinn writes, quote, "One of the clearest conclusions of social science research, is that we are proud. We think better of ourselves than we really are, and we see our faults in faint black and white rather than in vivid color, and we assume the worst with others while assuming the best in ourselves." Just one example. 94% of college professors consider themselves to be above average. Now, do the math, okay? That's statistically impossible. But that's how they think, all right? The spirit of the age is that everybody wants to be a hero. Everyone wants to be a star. Everyone wants to be set apart and above the norm. Everyone wants to be noticed. Everyone is doing their own thing to be noticed. Now, when that happens and everyone is doing their own thing to be noticed, the natural outcome of that is discord. That's not harm. That's not what produces harmony. Now, let's just look at a popular icon, idol, if you will, today in the popular culture. So much of it comes through music. And what greater icon of the popular culture today is there than Lady Gaga? No, I didn't buy her CDs. She is currently the most recognizable icon of popular culture, and she comments on her album, I think it's her latest album, it's called Born This Way. She says, "I'm writing more about pop culture as religion. My identity is my religion. I will fight and bleed to the death for my identity. I am my own sanctuary, and I can be reborn as many times as I choose throughout my life." In a concert to her listeners, and her listeners are not called fans, they're called disciples. And she refers to them as little monsters. And she says this, I'm not saying this to belittle her, this is simply a representation of an unregenerate mindset that is all about me. And if we are not intentional about harmony, we default to this. Okay? And she says this, "Tonight I want you to forget all your insecurities." She's talking to her fans, her audience. "I want you to forget about all your insecurities. I want what you feel makes you different in the greater destiny of life." Don't ask me what that means. I worked so hard to get where I am. Just remember, I was so far beneath, and now I am so far above. Now, let me tell you why she says that. Her life is a reaction to her school days. When she was in school, she was bullied severely. And everything she does today is a reaction to that. So everything that she's doing is like looking at those bullies and saying, "Look at me now." It's really kind of tragic, isn't it? I mean, watched a silly movie on TV last night with one of my daughters because she was the only one home, and it was Dr. Dolittle 3, and it's like it's rampant with high school girl drama. It's like I was nauseated after watching it. She was being interviewed by someone, and the interviewer said that she's become the Billy Graham of pop. And she laughs. She says, "It's more self-worship, I think. I'm teaching people to worship themselves." Folks, that's tragic. It's tragic. And again, she's acting according to her nature. But if we are not going to be intentional about harmony, then we default to that. And everyone is doing their thing to be noticed. That's not the church. That's not a portrait of newness. The religion of self has no part. Individualism has no part in the harmony of the body of Christ in this portrait of newness. And we need to be very careful that we, as God's people in the church and in the body of Christ, do not allow ourselves to be conformed to the world in this way. So cliques. Two obstacles to harmony. One is cliques. What do cliques? Why do cliques form? Because we compare ourselves to each other. And I am drawn and will associate with those people that are most like me and think like me or are willing to follow me. In every clique, you have a leader, don't you? You have a leader and you have a bunch of followers. And so we make the wrong comparisons. And in the cliques, people are refusing to cooperate. They're refusing to be a complement with the whole. Because I will only be around and associate and talk to and interact with people that are most like me. And it can be most like me racially. It can be most like me socioeconomically. It can be most like me politically. It can be most like me spiritually. I will only associate with those people who can communicate with me at this spiritual level. That's not harmony. That does not produce harmony in the church. And there shouldn't be such cliques. 1 Corinthians 11 was written for that very purpose, where the Apostle Paul is indicting the Corinthian church for their behavior at the Lord's table because they were cliquish. The rich were not associating with the poor. And what we need to do is, instead of being aloof and not recognizing what we do have in common, and that's part of harmony, is recognizing what we do have in common, instead of doing that, we're aloof and we only associate with those who are most like us. But see, that's a very unregenerate way of doing things. But what we need to do, instead of comparing ourselves to each other, we need to make the right comparison. And what is that comparison? Every one of us needs to compare ourselves to Jesus Christ. That's what he writes in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13. The purpose, the objective of the church is that every one of us grows into what? The measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So let's not be comparing ourselves to each other. Let's compare ourselves to Christ. That'll humble you. Comparing ourselves to each other is foolishness. Every time. And it does not produce harmony. So, cliques, let's not have them. And then critics. Critics are also. And this is the cliques there. That's my translation of when he says, do not set your mind on high things. Okay? Don't be haughty. Don't consider yourselves better. But he says, associate with the humble. And we'll unpack that here in a few minutes. But critics. This comes from the end of the verse. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Critics are also an obstacle to harmony. Critics are those who are quick to judge without compassion. And critics often make superficial judgments. And I say this with great sorrow, but there are far, far, far too many in the church today, in the body of Christ, who claim the name of Christ, who's too quickly, very, way too quickly, label and categorize other people. And it ought not to be. Yes, there may be differences in perspectives, and yes, we should have dialogues. But somebody was just informing me the other day, they were listening to Christian radio, and it was a very conservative Christian radio station. Now you know what I'm talking about. But even there, they were referring to a certain kind of people who do certain things, and on Christian radio, they were referred to as weirdos. Christians, listen to me. If you claim the name of Christ and you simply look at someone else and you refer to them publicly as a weirdo, that's not the fragrance of Christ. Jesus didn't do that. Critics make superficial judgments and offer no compassion. Critics are the ones who say, I know the right way, and it needs to be my way. My way is the right way. You know, there might be several ways of doing something the right way. But no, if it's not the way I would do it, then it's not the right way. And they would criticize it. There's too much of that going on in the church. And it needs to stop. Because we are called to harmony. The ambition of cooperation and understanding and communication, interdependence, honor, yielding, and forbearance. We are called to this harmony. And what critics do is that they're not interested in genuinely understanding the other person. They just slap a label on them and say, I'm really not going to associate with them. That's not harmony. And what that is, unfortunately, is flesh under the guise of spirituality. And that's what Paul, that's again why he indicts the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians 3, specifically verses 3 and 4. He says, what's going on among you? Some of you say, I am of Paul. Others say, I am of Apollos. And I'm sure those who would say, I am of Paul, would say, we are more spiritual than you and we have better understanding than you, because Paul, after all, is an apostle. But those who would say, I am of Apollos, they would say, well, he is a master of the Old Testament. He is mighty in the Scriptures, and we, therefore, are mightier in the Scriptures than you. It's not harmony. And what does Paul tell him? Look it up sometime. 1 Corinthians 3, verses 3 and 4. He says, when you do this and there's these divisions among you, he says, aren't you just behaving as mere men? What is he telling them? You are abandoning your newness and you are behaving just like the unregenerate. That's what he tells them. He says, that's not harmony. That is not the picture of newness that the church was designed and empowered to be. Cliques and critics are obstacles to harmony, and they should not be in the church. So what does he say when he talks about practicing harmony? Well, there's one positive, well, two positives there. He says, be of the same mind, have equal regard for each other, and that's what we've covered already. But in the middle of those two negatives, he says, do not set your mind on high things, don't be haughty in your thinking. Right after that, he says, associate with the humble. Associate with the humble. And that word associate, it actually means to be carried away with. Get carried away with others in small things. Small things. Now, how is that different from the spirit of the age? All through this, he is warning the individuals and the people in the church, don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. Don't default to the unregenerate way of thinking. Don't become conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. A transformation of attitude. He says, be carried away in small things with each other. What does he mean by that? Well, when it comes to serving each other, we don't wait for the grandiose projects and events. The big things. Well, I'll get involved when it's something big. When there's a lot of people there, I'll get involved and I'll show up. No. Do life together at an individual level. Be carried away in small things with each other. We have a shared humanity, so share that humanity that is being restored to the image of God in its beauty and perfection. Charles Evan Hughes was Chief Justice of the Supreme Court from 1930 to 1941. When he was appointed in 1929, he moved to Washington and transferred his membership to a Baptist church in Washington. It was the custom in that Baptist church to have all the new members come forward and stand before the congregation to introduce them formally to the congregation. And on this particular day, the first to be called was a Chinese laundryman. What we might refer to today as a blue-collar worker, an immigrant. His name was Ah Sing. He had moved to Washington from San Francisco and kept a laundry service, and it was very near the church there, and he'd become a member of the church. He was the first one to be called up, and he stood at the far side of the pulpit like he stood over here. A dozen other individuals were called up. The first one that came up stood way over here, and the second one stood over here with them, and the third one. A dozen people, and all of them stood over here, and there stood Ah Sing all by himself. And then Charles Evan Hughes, Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, was called up as a new member of the church, and he came and he stood next to Ah Sing. Be carried away with in small things. We need to abandon, if there is going to be the harmony in the church to which we were designed and empowered and called to, we need to abandon comparisons. Comparisons that say, you're not like me. That's not harmony. Because if all of us were exactly the same, then all we would do is just be playing one note on the piano the whole time. And who's attracted to that? And so not only are we carried away in small things with each other, but he says here, associate with the humble. And that is, you get carried away in small things in ways that are of no great consequence. Of no great consequence. Don't be looking for the photo ops to be a servant. Don't be looking for the photo ops to be a servant. Do things for others not to be noticed, but out of your love for Jesus Christ and His purpose to reconcile people to Himself. Because the spirit of the age says, look at me. The spirit of the age says, I'm going to do things for others to be noticed. I'm going to do things for others when there's a particular benefit for me to do it. That is not harmony. He says, do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. And that then is a stewardship. I keep coming back to that word, but it's understanding the fact that you have been blessed to be a blessing. Here's an example from right here in our state of North Carolina, the famous and luxurious Biltmore House in Asheville. It was originally owned and managed by George and Edith Vanderbilt, an elegant couple known for their exceptional treatment of famous guests. Today, when people summarize the Vanderbilts' management of the Biltmore House, they don't just retell stories about how they treated their famous and wealthy guests. They also point to stories of how George Vanderbilt treated his employees. And I remember that. I've walked through the Biltmore House, and I remember distinctly some of the stories that they've said about how they treated their employees. It really was particularly exceptional, particularly in that time of day. One example is Bessie Smith. She was a teenager when she began working at the Biltmore, and she was intimidated by the opulence. On her first day as a server, she walked into the house's grand banquet hall, and startled by the vastness of the room, she dropped the tray of monogrammed china that she was carrying. Mr. Vanderbilt, a professional figure with dark hair and slightly curved mustache, rose from his chair as his guests looked on, their eyes begging, what on earth are you going to say about this distraction? You can just hear, what are you going to say about this distraction? But he didn't say anything. Instead, he got down on his hands and knees and helped her pick up the shards. Can you see Jesus washing the feet of the disciples? And as he was down on his hands and knees helping her pick up the broken pieces of this fine china, he simply said to her, come see me in the morning. Now, if you were Bessie Smith, what would you be thinking? She assumed she was going to be fired. Instead, Mr. Vanderbilt promoted Bessie to chambermaid, so she wouldn't have to carry such heavy dishes. How about that? That is associating with the humble, being carried away with. And he didn't do that in front of his guests as a photo op. He shared in Bessie's humanity. There are those of us who have been in the Lord and we've walked with the Lord for a long time, and the others come along and they're new in the Lord and we're thinking, okay, I have this level of understanding and I have this level of spiritual maturity, and we start associating with those who have not been walking with the Lord as long as we have, and we can tend to forget that growing in the Lord and becoming like Christ is a process. Progressive sanctification is true for all of us. And we look at them and say, why don't you understand the way it is? We can say, like my wife's brother said to her, tutoring her in math, I don't understand why you don't understand. And we can be that way with each other, forgetting the fact that every one of us needs to grow in grace over time and in our walk in relationship with the Lord. And some of us may be, some may be spiritually, some people may be intellectually advanced. If you are intellectually advanced, you need to associate with those who are not as intellectually advanced. Now be careful how you do that, okay? Some of you may be economically advanced. You need to associate with those who are not as economically advanced. I don't mean to make them dependent on you. That's not a biblical scenario. Those of you who are advanced in skills or gifts, associate with those. Now, what do I mean by associate? Instead of criticizing and labeling them and therefore separating from them, help them progress. That's harmony. The harmony of associating with the humble. There are benefits to harmony, and there are three scriptures listed there. And you can read them. Let me just summarize them very briefly here as we bring this to conclusion. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11, the benefits to harmony are comfort and peace and the presence of God. The presence of God. Read that, 2 Corinthians 3:11. It's amazing. Philippians chapter 2, the benefits of harmony. Philippians 2:2, the benefits of harmony are joy and love. 1 Peter 3:8, the benefits of harmony are compassion and blessing. Harmony is a key attribute in the portrait of newness. Remember, it requires diversity in order for harmony to exist. But that harmony means that there are complements, that there is the ambition to cooperate with understanding and honor and yielding and forbearance under authority. That's the harmony. And that harmony is a beautiful and wonderful thing. It is something that will make the church attractive to the watching world. It is that to which we are called. We're going to get to this later in Romans 15, but I include it in the bottom of the notes. Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember what Christ did when He, the Master and Lord of the disciples, wrapped a towel around His waist and got down on His hands and knees and He washed their smelly feet. He says, you've seen me leave an example, now do as I have done. You will be happy if you do it. Powerful, powerful words. What are you contributing to harmony? I'm asking you to engage in honest personal assessment. What is there about your life in general and in the life and ministry of the church? Is there any individualism going on? Might there be subtle ways that you are being conformed to the image of the world by practicing individualism in your attitudes? It's my way. Are you quick to criticize? Are you quick to slap labels on somebody? And therefore you don't associate with them. You only associate with the people that look, think, and act like you. Folks, we're not called to that. That's not harmony. So do that deep personal assessment and then ask yourself, am I doing these? Am I under authority? Am I recognizing the beauty of that diversity that exists among us? Am I yielding? And am I honoring? Am I taking the initiative to honor someone else? Am I being a compliment to them? If I am advanced in a particular way, whether it be spiritually, intellectually, economically, skillfully, am I willing to associate with those who are not and help them progress? That's harmony. That's the harmony of the gospel. And that's the harmony that exists in, that ought to exist in the church, because we were designed for it, we have been empowered for it, and we have been called to it. That is the church.